This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you're in our audience. I trust the Lord will bless you through the program, encourage you, and perhaps even challenge you. Now, for those of you who would like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of this program. If you go to my website, you can re-listen to these programs there. You can also email prayer requests from the website using the email address that is given there. I have a weekly meditation that you might find helpful, as well as other material on the website that you might find to be informative. You will need a pencil and a piece of paper to write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now, I'll be recording this program a week or two before you hear it, but while I'm recording it, we're in the midst of this pandemic called the coronavirus, and some say that the disease that results from it is COVID-19. And I'm just praying that everyone who I have an effect upon or who hears my voice, that you're spared from the ravages of this disease. We'll pray for you at the end of the program. But be patient. This too shall pass. There's a woman in the Bible, or there was a woman who told us that her favorite phrase in the Bible was, "It came to pass." And we know that while she may have been taking that a bit out of context, things do come to pass. But the question in all of our minds should be if we are affected by this, and if it should be that the Lord uses this virus to end our time on this earth, are we really ready to meet God? If, for example, we have to die. I hope we don't have to die through this means, but we're all going to die at some point. And this does make us realize how frail we are and how that we are not to boast ourselves about tomorrow, for we don't know what a day may bring forth. So are we really ready to meet God? And that's one of the purposes of this program. I'm thinking a little bit about a verse of a song that I don't hear sung much anymore, but it goes like this. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And the chorus says, are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Now, I know that literally we can't be washed in the blood of the Lamb, but when we trust in Christ, we find that His blood, His sacrifice, His death forgives us as far as God is concerned and cleanses us from all of our sin. And so if we confess our sin and if we come to God in simple trusting faith, then His blood is the cleansing power that God sees, and it satisfies God, and we go free. And so, in that sense, we are cleansed by the death of Christ when we put our faith in Him. And so that's the most important thing that we can think about right now, and I just pray that if you're listening to my voice, you've settled this issue, and that you know that Christ died for you. The Bible says, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And that's John 3, verse 18. But now as we continue our study of these books of the Bible, it's been my intention to help you understand the Bible in its context, give you some help that will encourage you to read the Bible on your own. We like to listen to podcasts. We like to listen to preachers. We like to listen to those who seem to be educated with regard to the Bible, but it just seems strange to me that if I were to get a letter from my relative, say, as a son, I were to get a letter from my father, I don't think I would be going to somebody else to read that letter and explain it to me. Unless I was blind or deaf, I certainly wouldn't. I'd read it on my own, and I would read it keep it and reread it. It would be precious to me. Now, I realize that we've got some difficulty because we don't understand culture. We don't understand some language. But apart from that, needing some help with that, I want to encourage you to believe that the Bible was written to you and that it can speak to you. And you don't need somebody to tell you how to believe the Bible. You need, or what to believe when it comes to the Bible. You need somebody to tell you how to understand and come to the Bible intelligently, how to understand the Bible intelligently. And so I want to encourage you to let God speak to your heart, and I want to encourage you to believe that you can understand the Bible. Now remember, we're in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament has to do with a physical people who have a physical land and physical promises, and we're New Testament people. And if we're saved, we're in the New Testament, we're a spiritual people with spiritual promises and a spiritual land. So principles from the Old Testament apply to us in the New, and in some cases, there are promises made in the Old Testament, particularly in the Psalms and the Proverbs, that are specifically applicable to all people at all time. They're principles that are good for all time. But we do have to remember that the Old Testament was primarily for Israel, and the New Testament is primarily for the church. And then when we come to the book of the Revelation, we're going to see the culmination of all things. We would remember again that our Bible is a progressive revelation of God. And so when we come to the book of Obadiah, which is our book for today, we find the shortest book in the Old Testament. We have one chapter, and we know very little about Obadiah. We aren't even particularly sure about just exactly when he prophesied, but it's pretty clear to see that his prophecy has to do with the coming destruction of the land or the country of Edom. And Edom was, of course, populated by the descendants of Esau. And Esau was the twin brother of Jacob. And so we find that from the time Jacob and Esau were born, there apparently was a certain amount of jealousy and contention between them. And it really started with their parents because they were twin brothers. Esau was the firstborn, and Jacob was born second. And it turns out that Isaac favored Esau. He favored the fact that he was a hunter and he liked to be out in the field. But Rebekah seemed to favor Jacob. And so the parents' attitude toward the children likely had something to do with the feud that took place in their lives. But it turns out that because Esau was the firstborn, normally he would get the blessings of the firstborn. And in that culture, that meant that after his father died, he would get a double portion of the inheritance because he would be the leader of the clan. He would likely be the priest of the clan at that time, and he would have responsibility in leadership. And that was a blessing. It was something I don't understand, and frankly, I'm not sure if I had been Jacob, I would have liked it very much. But at the same time, that was the way things worked in that day. But it turns out that Esau despised his birthright. And if we were to come to Genesis chapter 25, we find out that Esau came in from a hunting trip and he was faint, and in a moment of weakness he sold his birthright to Jacob. Genesis 25 verse 34 says, "And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils, and he ate and drank and arose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." Now that again was part of the Hatfield and McCoy type of tension between these two boys. And not only did he despise his birthright, but then later on we find out that Rebekah helped Jacob get the blessing that Esau in his old age was going to give to, or that Isaac in his old age was going to give to Esau. And so we find out that Esau not only despised his blessing, but he was deceived out of his father's blessing by Jacob. And Jacob, of course, was a deceiver. His name seems to mean that, a supplanter or deceiver. And so we find out that after Jacob had disguised himself as Esau and gotten the blessing of his father Isaac, then Esau comes out of the field and intends to get the blessing that was intended for him. But when he comes to his father says, "Your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing." This is Genesis 27. And Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he has taken away my blessing." And he said, "Have you not received a blessing for me?" And so there was a blessing for Esau as well, which included being able to have descendants that populated Edom, as I understand it. But the important verses in this book of Obadiah has to do with the pride of Esau. If we were to read from Obadiah chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, we read, "The pride of your heart has deceived you." The pride of your heart has deceived you. Now, that's a principle we can apply to us today. All of us have pride, and it's easy for us to let our pride override our good sense. And so then as we read on down through Obadiah chapter 1 to verse 15, we read again about this day of the Lord. And it says, "For the day of the Lord upon all nations is near. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your reprisal shall return upon your own head." And what we read about is in this Hatfield and McCoy type of relationship that Jacob and Esau had, Esau had taken pleasure when Jacob, or when Israel, had been defeated by its enemies, and the Lord said that they should not have done that. And so then we come to the very end of the book, and it refers to the kingdom that is probably the millennial kingdom. And so there's probably a fulfillment of this prophecy that took place when Assyria overtook the Israelites, and when Babylon overtook Assyria and Israel. There's probably a fulfillment there, but I think that there is a long-term fulfillment that has not yet been firmly fulfilled, where we read, "Then Savior shall come to Mount Zion to judge the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's." And that's the very last verse of Obadiah. So what's our lesson? Well, our lesson is, don't mess with Israel. And our lesson is, the final kingdom is the Lord's. And our lesson is, we need to recognize that we are a part of a broader plan. We need to fit into that broader plan. We need to allow ourselves to be subject to the Lord, and we should never despise others who are being judged by the Lord. Now, again, our Heavenly Father, we do ask you to bless our lesson today and to bless all who have listened. Guide our leaders during this pandemic. Preserve our listeners from the disease. Bless those serving at their own peril at this time on the front lines. We thank you for salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus, and we pray in his name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.